Good morning. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I want to say also happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here today. Like Bob, I lost my mother a couple of years ago too, and miss her. And I know there's others in the congregation also. But I think is what I'd like to do before I give you a message here is I like to give people an opportunity to either just say your mother's name or just give a real short testimony, not a book, but just a testimony of your mother, what she means to you, if you like, or something special you want us to know. So whoever does, just raise your hand and feel free to do that. Just honor mothers. Larry? Amen.
And she's bedridden, but she still prays.
Praise the Lord. And how old is she now?
96.
I met that lady, too, and I tell you what, you'd never know she was 96. She still had the fire of Jesus in her.
Amen.
Les?
My mom died a few years ago, before she passed away, she's watching us in Uri Emmanuel, and she gave her life to the Lord.
Praise the Lord, yeah.
And, we were in the choir, and she watched the choir, and she gave her life to the Lord before she passed.
Amen. So, that's awesome. Yep. Anybody else?
Evelyn loved the Lord, and she had the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Spirit all the way up to when she went home a year ago.
Okay.
She's praising God now.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Awesome mothers.
My mom, Ruth, the lovely lady sitting up front. Amen.
Our Ruth, all right.
She is a praying mother, and she's just always someone who's always been there for me through thick and thin in my life, and I don't know what I do without her.
All right, Ruth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's awesome, too. You bet. Yes. Darla? Oh, Doug?
My mom's Betty. She's right here next to me. She is definitely a praying mom because she's got four children that have been quite rebellious in their years. And for the most part, we're starting to turn around.
Praise the Lord. We're praying for you yet, Betty. Darla?
My mother didn't accept the Lord later on in her life, but she got the marvelous privilege of meeting someone on the phone to know the Lord, a wrong number, dialed the Lord, and the Lord used her to lead this person to the Lord.
Okay, Darla, we're gonna go to you now.
Stereo. Well, my mom's name is Lillian, and she passed away in October. And my mom was such a servant. She taught Sunday school for 36 years. And what I've learned is of her crawling under the red rafters and getting the baby bed that she raised all six kids of them and taking it to a young woman's home in the church that needed it. But just how she was. And at her funeral, the pastor pointed us kids and said, "You were privileged. You were to be raised with the mother that served the Lord. Don't waste it."
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Awesome mothers. Anyone else? Betty?
My mom's still alive. She's 98, but she brought us to the Lord. She's just a wonderful
I bet she's praying for you too, right? All right. Yeah, that's great. We all need prayer. I'm just, Betty, you know me. I'm just giving you a hard time. You can kick my shins after church if you want that. Anyone else? Amen.
She never gave up on me.
Amen.
Just by the grace of God and her prayers, where I am today.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That's awesome. It when I hear sons and daughters here talking about that, that's incredible, the influence of a mother. Anyone else? Come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Terry?
My mom died in 1998, but growing up, she was always quick with the discipline, but just as quick with the hugs and the kisses, too.
Amen.
And although I didn't grow up in what I would call a Christian home, there were definitely the disciplines of life that I was taught, you know, to be dedicated to your job and moral values and stuff. So.
Amen. Is there a twin in here like me?
I just said, I'm trying to tell you how faithful mothers are.
Yeah.
My mom had a double knee replacement. She blamed it on me.
Wow. That could be an honor. Gene? Amen. Amen. I don't want to miss anybody, but you got to get faster than this. Praise the Lord. So, Deb, excuse me, your mom's still alive, right? Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
My mom just passed away in December, so it's still a little hard for me, but she was a Christian, and it makes me feel wonderful that I know that she's in love with the Lord.
Yes.
And I keep reminding myself that she was a good mother and a very loving parent.
Praise the Lord, yeah. I know, we'd just go on and on with stories, couldn't we, Ruth?
My mother was named as Claire. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but sort of, we always went to church. We were Catholic, and we always walked in church, and it was 8-9 blocks away. And she made sure we were in church, but she didn't know the Lord like a lot of your mothers did. But my grandmother lived with my grandmother, and she was a praying grandmother, and I think that was because of her prayers, and her name was Leon.
Praise God.
Nan?
My mother was Sadie, and she was 97 when she died. She was an intercessor, and we had a large home 2 doors from the church, so we had a lot of roast beef dinners on Sundays.
Yeah. Sure. Amen. Amen. See how patient I am? No, you know, I heard the word grandmother a few times here too, and I think about my grandmother too. I always remember my grandmother always had gone to church, always reading her Bible and praying. And like I was telling my wife too, I believe grandmothers and even great-grandmothers a lot of times have had a great influence in the family, and maybe I'm standing up here saved because I had a praying grandmother that prayed for her children and her great-grandchildren and grandchildren, and it just goes right down the rank, and that's why it's so faithful. We are to be so faithful to our Lord, how your life in my life impacts our future generation and how we live. And not even our own families, but how we live our life impacts those around us when they're watching us and you don't even know it. They're seeing how we handle things, how we live our lives, and people are watching and looking at us. And we are epistles read by all men, Scripture teaches. Amen? So we have to remember that. But thank God for mothers today as we celebrate them, and just hearing you and the testimonies of them and yourselves, mothers. We thank God for our mothers. Amen? But we're here first and foremost to honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, I don't give you mothers the credit. I give Jesus Christ all the credit. He always gets it, no matter what. I give him all the praise and all the glory. And mothers are what they are today because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I like that one day for us that don't have our mothers here, and should Jesus tarry, others will lose their mothers, but one day we will be reunited with them. We'll be reunited with them and we'll see them again. And that's what's exciting about knowing Jesus Christ, not just having eternal salvation, but heaven is so much sweeter when we've got somebody there waiting for us too, don't we? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you for this beautiful day you've given us. And Lord, we're glad in it. And Father, right now we commit the balance of this service to you, Lord, to give you praise and honor as we look at mothers and celebrate their lives, Father. We ask that your anointing be upon myself as I preach the word, and Lord, upon the congregation to hear it. And Lord, that your word is the one that changes our hearts and our lives. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The realistic mother in a real world. The realistic. Is it okay if I just give you, you know, usually I don't believe in doing a lot of joking from the pulpit, to be honest with you. But I do have one I want to read. You got to have a little humor too. I God gave me sense of humor, and I know he has a lot of you too, so I'm going to do it anyway. Three sons leave home, go out on their own, and prosper. Getting back together, they discuss the gifts that they are able to give to their elderly mother. The first says, I built a big house for our mother. The second says, I sent a Mercedes with a driver. The third says, you remember how mom enjoys reading the Bible? She can't see very well now, so I sent her a remarkable parrot that recites the entire Bible. It took the elders in the church 12 years to teach him. He's one of a kind. Mama just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot recites it. It cost me $100,000. Soon thereafter, Mom sends out her letters of thanks. Milton, she says, the house you build is so huge. I live only in one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Gerald, she says, I am too old to travel. I stay most of my time in my house, so I rarely use the Mercedes. And that driver is so rude, he's a pain. My dearest Donald, she says, that skinny little chicken was delicious. Do we have any parrot owners in the church here this morning? Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you a few quotes here before I get in the message. A mother is a person who, seeing there are only four pieces of pie for five people, promptly announces she's never did care for pie. That was by Teneva Jordan. Being a full-time mother is one of the highest salary jobs since the payment is pure love, as quoted by Mildred Vermont. If you have a mom, there is nowhere you are likely to go where a prayer has not already been, by Robert Brault. Mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but their hearts forever. Off their unknown. Mother, that was the bank where we deposited all our hurts and worries. DeWitt Talmage. God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. That's a Jewish proverb. A mother understands what a child does not say. Again, author unknown. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. That was by Abraham Lincoln. A mom's hug lasts long after she lets go. Again, that's author unknown. Children are a great comfort in your old age, and they help you reach it faster, too. Lionel Kaufman. Mother is the name for God in the lips and hearts of little children. William Makepeace Thackeray said that. A mother is the truest friend we have when trials heavy and sudden fall upon us, when adversity takes the place of prosperity, when friends who rejoice with us in our sunshine desert us, when trouble thickens around us, still we'll she cling to us and endeavor by her kind precepts and counsels to dissipate the clouds of darkness and cause peace to return to our hearts. That's by Washington Irving. And lastly, the one thing children wear out faster than shoes is parents. John Plomp. Some good ones, huh? So as I begin, I will say this. There's no way to cover this appropriately, the whole topic of mothers. Amen? So I'm just going to give you one message today. What I say will not fit every mother either. Each person will identify some portion of the message, but certainly not all of the message will you probably relate with. This day can be one of the happiest and also can be one that brings the greatest pain. There are those who are childless and must endure another Mother's Day celebration with all the mothers receiving flowers and gifts. Then there are those who have lost their mother. Today, the saddest of that loss returns to our hearts. Amen? They hold back the tears if they can get through the service because those memories are there. And lastly, there are many broken relationships between mothers and children as well as mothers and fathers. Amen? It isn't all easy and nicey through life sometimes. So, what is the ideal woman like? You'll get a variety of answers to that question if I went around and had everybody say something. But the ideal woman was described about 2,500 years ago, and it's a well-known one, and it's often preached, and it's out of Proverbs chapter 31. And this can be very intimidating for wives and mothers and women. Some say the ideal woman is a woman who will obey your every whim, wait on you hand and foot, and literally worship the ground you walk on. You know what that's called? Male chauvinism. But that's not true in my home. At least it wasn't amen. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. Proverbs 31 describes the ideal wife and a mother. And in verses 10 and 12, her husband can completely trust in her, and she'll be faithful to him. Listen to what it says in verse 10 through 12 here. Who can find a virtuous woman? Virtuous, I just want to insert here, meaning strength of mind or bodily or morally strong in woman in character and ability. And then I go on, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have not need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. A virtuous woman. And virtuous is only translated virtuous. Did you know that? When describing a woman. Only when describing a woman. Did you know Ruth is the only woman called virtuous? I'm not talking about her now. Even though she needs to strive for that too, just like all the other ladies. I know I didn't have to point that out. It was just fun doing it. You know, in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, and this is Boaz speaking. He says, "For all the city of my people doth know that they that teach art a virtuous woman." That's what he thought of Ruth. That's just a virtuous woman. The whole city knew it. And in Proverbs verses 13 and 15, she is not afraid of work either, by the way. And she works hard and long. She feeds and clothes her family very well. Listen to verse 13. "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden." That made, when I read that, I my grandmother, Diekman, my dad's side, popped into my mind because I stayed with them several times growing up. And my grandmother would get up when it would still be dark and she'd start preparing breakfast for my uncle. Every single morning on an old wood cook stove. It wasn't gas or electric. It was where she'd have to go out and get the wood and fire that old thing up and get that thing cooking hot. And that old little kitchen would be so hot. Time she'd get that, her face would be beat red. She would do that in the middle of summer too, when the house would be steaming hot. When they didn't even have electric fans in their house back then. But I remember that, and that made me think of my grandmother, and I'm sure some of you have grandmothers just like that also. And she's not lazy. She is loving and considerate of all of her household. And then she keeps her eyes open for good deals. She's diligent in business. Now, come on, ladies, you can relate to this one. Verse 16 in Proverbs 31 said, "She considereth a field and buyeth it." That's the one that I wish my wife would have done. "She considereth a field and buyeth it." I'd like to own my own field. That'd be cool. "With the fruit of her hand, she planted a vineyard." See, she's not afraid to venture into new ways or business to provide for her family. And I thank God for all the mothers here today and grandmothers who have literally worked not only in the home, but outside of the home through taking care of their families. She watches her speech and her behavior, and to me, that's an awesome thing, too. In verses 26 through 27, it says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness." And she maintains a good life of godliness, too. It says in verses 30 and 31, "Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." What a contrast. I was looking through Proverbs here, and I thought, what a contrast. And these are all in Proverbs, so I'll just say chapter 6, verse 24. It speaks of the evil woman. Chapter 9, verse 13 speaks of a foolish woman. Chapter 21, verse 9 speaks of a brawling woman. Chapter 21, 19 speaks of a contentious woman. Chapter 30, 23 speaks of an odious woman. And when I read that, because what that means, it's she's nasty. And she's extremely unpleasant and repulsive to live with. And it made me think, is it our past election? When a crowd of women got up there and they're saying, "We're nasty women." And see, when I hear that, and when I see what the Word of God talks about a virtuous woman, and I thought about what makes you and I more like Jesus than anything. And I thought about that. And you know what it is? It's humility. It's humility. when we're humble. When we're humble people, the world is teaching not only the women, but the men and the young children to be proud, to prideful in the wrong way, in the wrong way. And when I read this about a virtuous woman, I thank God for all the virtuous women that God has and that he is still working on. Amen. Yes. And ladies, just so you know, Father's Day is coming too. So don't. Do a good job picking on the guys. See, I believe that all women should strive to achieve the idealistic description that's given to us in Proverbs. I think that should be something a woman should constantly strive for. Because when you read those reality, you see characteristics of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're becoming like Jesus. You're not becoming like someone that you got to be just right for the husband or the children. You're becoming a woman of God, a woman that resembles our and emulates our Lord Jesus Christ in his character. That's what you strive for. That should be the main goal, is to be like Jesus. Amen? But most of us live in a realistic world today. I'm not saying it's not possible, but to fulfill the entire list constantly throughout life, that would be a hard task, wouldn't it? To be that type of a woman throughout your whole life? I want to use the scripture as a springboard to talk about the idealistic versus the realistic. The first is idealistic. Everything is perfect. Nothing goes wrong. Everyone gets what he or she wished for. Everything ends with, and they lived happily ever after. I've never heard anybody say that. I've heard it on Disney cartoons. And then we have the realistic. We deal with problems throughout life. Broken dreams are often the norm in our life, in the mother's life. Some things are never fixed. That's realistic, isn't it? Isn't that the real part of life? Idealistic versus realistic bodies. The idealistic mother will have a perfect body even after having children. The realistic mother knows she'll never see size 8 or 10 again, except maybe in shoe size. And then you have raising children. The idealistic mother will expect to attend her son or daughter's graduation as he or she graduates with honor. The realistic mother may have to visit her son or daughter in jail or prison, or maybe even visit his or her gravesite. Or she may even be a childless wife who lives with the pain, like Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel, wanting children but having none. And then we have the homes. The idealistic mother lives in a castle-type home setting on a hill. The realistic mother may live in an apartment downtown or in a rundown neighborhood. And then we have jobs and careers. The idealistic mother has a master's degree and has her own office in the business district. The realistic mother may have barely finished high school or dropped out and working on her GED, and she takes whatever job is available to her. Idealistic families only exist in fairy tales, people, in poems and in movies. Most of us live in the reality part of life. I thought it really unrealistic when watching the mother who played June Cleaver on Leave It to Beaver. Perfect hair, perfect makeup, perfect clothing, wearing high heels when preparing meals and cleaning the hall. I've never remembered my grandmother, my mother, my wife wearing high heels to prepare meals. And then living with reality. Sitting in our pews today, and across America, are realistic moms living in real worlds with real problems and real issues going on in their life. See, we give cards and flowers and various gifts this weekend to mothers, but what do most mothers really need in their life today? What do they really need? And I thought, mothers need forgiveness. Mothers need forgiveness. Forgiveness is for all of the times she wasn't able to meet the idealistic expectations. The times when she would have loved to give her children everything she possibly could to make their lives easier and happy and things like that, but she couldn't do it. Forgiveness will receive the guilt if it is unrealistic. Forgiveness for all the mistakes she has made in her life. And how many parents, mothers, especially we're talking today, look back in life and say, oh, if I had done it differently, or if I hadn't done it that way. How many of us look back? Forgiveness for the sin she has committed against God. For the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, even mothers. To summarize the difference, mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. And grace is God blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. Mercy is deliverance from judgment. Grace is extending kindness to the unworthy. Mothers need grace to understand that no one is perfect in a real world. Amen? To accept that whatever she has done, it's done. She can't go back. She must go on. Many tears have been shed by mothers saying, if only I could start over. If only I could start over. And to understand that she's not alone. Many others are in the same position this morning. Many mothers across this country and the world. And then mothers need mercy. And to deal with the broken heart or the broken home. To deal with the wayward children. To deal with all the heartaches of decades of mothering. So I'm not excusing inappropriate behavior. I'm saying there is a God to help through these times. Regardless of your situation this morning, you need a God of reality. Amen? You need a God of reality. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 says, wherefore in all things it behooved me, him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That's meaning to help, to support, and to comfort when you need it, that Jesus is there. He's experienced everything you, as mothers, have experienced in this world. And he knows, and he can help, and he understands. Not only is he our high priest, but he's able to sympathetically to our situation. As he intercedes, for he too was in the flesh, and he knows, and he feels. Jesus is qualified to understand and help you moms, wives, women, in whatever you need in life. Anything. And the mother who would make an excuse for whatever is going on in her life and say nobody cares and nobody understands. There is one person that you can never blank out of that statement, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you, and he is always there. He's ready at any moment to hear your cry, to come to your side, to be with you, to comfort you, to give you peace, a heart, to help you in whatever situation, even as you grow older and you become grandmothers and great-grandmothers. He never leaves. He hears the heart. He hears the pain of mothers. He hears the cry for a mother crying for her wayward children. He understands that. Hebrews chapter 4, 15 and 16. For we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. If there's mothers in here this morning and there's something you just, that the enemy keeps pounding on you about, you can go to the throne of grace and cry out to a loving God, and he forgives and he forgets and he gives you that grace and mercy that you need. And where there's been heartache and pain, he will put grace and mercy. And the balm of Gilead will give you that sense of healing within your heart. That's Jesus. He loves mothers. Jesus loved his mother. Even on the cross, he looked down and he said, take care of my mother. You see, I'm sure Mary was going through the struggles of life too and thinking of all the things that maybe she should have done or shouldn't have done with this special boy. But she also knew that he was Lord of lords and King of kings. Women, mothers, wives, this is a promise from your high priest, Jesus. When you come to him, you will find grace and mercy in the time of need. Jesus is not looking to condemn you, to hurt you. And even if there's mothers in here this morning and you've had an abortion, God forgives when you come to him and say, God, I ask for forgiveness. If you have loved ones, you know mothers in your families or extended families or whatever, and they had abortions and they condemn themselves and they know it's murder in their hearts, you can go to them and they say, I know someone that will forgive you and will forget and never remember. And when you ask for forgiveness, God's promise to you as mothers that he will forgive and forget and throw it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember it again, and then go forward praising and thanking him for his grace and mercy. Amen? Amen. See, the bottom line, we all are inspired by someone. We are. I don't want to go long this morning because it is Mother's Day. Well, I want to go long. I got to be honest. I'm going to ask the mothers, all ladies, women, even the young girls, if there's somebody I don't see any right there in Sunday school, but I'd like the ladies to just come up in the front here. We want to pray for you. And if a mother is having a hard time, someone please help her up here. And maybe we can even have a chair if she cannot stand. I'd like a chair up here for a mother that may have a hard time standing. Exodus 22:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Do you want to know something? I even believe we're supposed to honor our mothers and fathers even when they're not with us no longer on this earth. We honor them in our thinking and our thoughts. Even if you did not have a good mother and she was difficult, I believe you still honor her by saying, Jesus, I forgive that mother. We may have not gotten along the way we should have. There may have been issues in our life, but I forgive her. And by doing that, you honor her, and God has a promise for even you and me, even in our later years. See, Christ understands what it's like to live in a real world. He deals with us in such terms. God loves you, ladies, mothers, women, moms. And with all the heads bowed, even the men back there, is there a mom in here today that says, I've never surrendered to this loving Jesus that you told me about that loves me so much? Is there any mothers up here that say, Pastor, I'd love to surrender my life to Jesus right now? Just raise your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. Just want to make sure. I want to make sure because this is really what it's all about. Being prepared for eternity. Is there any mothers in here that are carrying heavy burdens? And that's probably an obvious in some cases, but you have really heavy burdens. Just lift your hand up right now. And as a symbol, you don't need to leave it up, but just lift it up and say, Pastor, I want you to remember something in my life and prayer. God sees those hands. I'd like the gentlemen to all stand up and put your hands forward as I pray for the mothers this morning and the wives and the moms. And I want to mention single moms. I don't want to miss either that God loves the single moms. Heavenly Father, we as the body of Christ come before you right now, Lord. And as you see your daughters standing up here, you created each one of these beautiful ladies from the beginning of time. You knew who they would be. You knew their names. You knew their character. You knew all about their internal workings. You knew, Lord, their personalities and their traits. And they're all standing up here right now before your throne. And you're looking at them. And one day we'll stand before you and in person. But right now, by faith, they're standing here, Lord, and you're here with us right now, and you're looking at your daughters, and you're loving them. I believe that, Lord, you're walking through them right now and just letting them know that I love you. the Lord would say to you. I have sensed your hurts, even from being young girls to where you're at today. God would say, I've sensed your hurts. I've felt your hurts. I've heard your cries. I've heard the sense of rejection you felt. I heard the pain. I've seen the fear, and I've heard the frustrations and the discouragements and the why me, Lord, cries. God would say to you, daughters of his, I've got your lives in control. They may seem even some of you out of control right now, but they're not. Because I am watching over you, and I am guiding and leading, and I'm opening doors and I'm shutting doors where you need to be. And do not fear, the Lord would want you to know, for I'll be with you, not only through this day, but I'll be with you already in your tomorrows and your next days and your next days and forever after. I'll be with you and you'll be with me, God would say to you, ladies. And so, Lord, we as husbands and fathers and sons that are here today, we hold up our ladies, our women, our single moms, all of them together, Father. We hold them up by faith before your throne. And, Lord, we would ask that you would bless them supernaturally. We speak the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over each one of them, over their minds and over their hearts, as the enemy would try to destroy our ladies, our women, our moms, our grandmothers and single women. Satan would try to take them and destroy them, for he hates women. For through a woman came our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we ask that there be a blood covering over them, a wall of protection. And, Lord, I pray, Father, we pray as men, Lord, that help us, Lord, to understand. And, Lord, help us to love our women the way you've called us to, our wives, to love them as Christ loved the church, to love our daughters. Lord, to love them and to be understanding and to help any way we can to make their life easier. And Lord, if we as men have lost that sensitivity, I ask that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction into our hearts, Father, and help us to help our helpmates and help our grandmothers and our aunts and the young ladies in our lives, Father. Help us to be aware that they're important to you. Just like Timothy and his mother and grandmother, He loved them. They influenced his life. And every one of these ladies up here, whether they know it or not, have influenced somebody's life for you. And Lord, I pray there will be an anointing upon them. And I pray that you use them even in a greater way. And Lord, I would ask that mothers would not look at other mothers, but to look at you. They're not to compare themselves with any other mother, ever. They are who you created them to be. And you will do the work, what needs to be done, if any, within them to be the mother that you've called them to be. And so, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Ladies, feel free to take a rose before you leave. And we love you mothers today. And if you're not here and you're not a mother, we love you too, because you're a daughter of the Heavenly Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a great Mother's Day. Deacons, I need you for 2 minutes, just 2 minutes. In my office, if you would, please.